You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. Well, today is Valentine's Day, and to celebrate, we want to share with you a love story set here in the Bay Area. It's about an artist who many people around the music scene here have known for decades. Paige Hodel. She was one of the Bay Area's most popular DJs in the 80s and 90s. In fact, Paige is featured in a new photo exhibit celebrating that golden age of San Francisco nightlife. It's at the GLBT Historical Society. And one of the iconic images shows her spinning at a club called The Box. Well, Paige had a life outside of the music scene, of course, and the story we're about to tell is a part of that life. It's from KALW's Ben Trefney, who first told it several years ago, and he updated it so he could share it with us now.
Paige Hodel moved to Oakland around 2005 to a fixer-upper bungalow in the city's Laurel District. One day, she walked across the street and knocked on the door of her cute neighbor, Madeline Rodriguez.
And we fell just really instantly in love. I just knew right away. As soon as she opened the door, I knew right away.
How'd you know?
I don't know. I mean, it's so hard to put words on that, but there's just a feeling when, you know, and of course, as I got to know her right away, I felt like I was home. We used to joke about how she's the quietest person on the earth, and I'm the loudest person on the earth because I'm a disc jockey. You can't get a louder profession, and a librarian, you really can't get a quieter one. But it was a really nice mixture for us.
They complimented each
other.
Yeah. And even though it was love at first sight, the DJ took the time to court the librarian.
You know, right away, I mean, even after our first date, I left her something on her doorstep the next morning, a little lunchbox with a little note and some chocolates in it. And I don't know exactly what gave me the idea to leave her a heart, but several weeks later, maybe, I don't know exactly what point it was, but I just was, you know, in my garden one day collecting things or doing, you know, cleaning or something, and pulled out some of the flowers, and I thought, I'm going to go over there and just leave a little heart on her doorstep. So I just made a heart out of some of the flowers that were in my garden that I had cut. She must have said something that alerted me that she really liked it. And so I had the idea, I'm going to do it every Monday. I'll just start every week for her. So I work as a DJ at night on Sunday nights. So when I got off work really late, it was just, you know, I could tippy-toe across really quiet and find things. And so, you know, it sort of became this little ritual that I did. And you know, I just was so incredibly in love. My heart was just completely exploding open, and I just couldn't contain it. You know, when you feel that feeling in your life and in your body and your soul, you know, it's a really extraordinary feeling. And I just, I wanted to make sure she knew. I guess it was almost 7 months after we started seeing each other. And she, you know, put her hand to her side one day and said, I have a very strange pain. And we knew something was going on, but certainly not the extent of it. And within a couple of weeks, she was diagnosed with a very, very end stage 4 ovarian cancer. I made a heart for her the night before she passed, and I made two hearts together. I made two hearts so that she would see the two of us together. During the period of time right after she passed, I just couldn't do really much of anything at all, but I knew I could always make her a heart. I could always do that, and that really gave me, I think, something to hold on to.
Paige would make hearts out of anything she could find. Rubber bands, letterpress letters, flower petals, crayons, anything and everything, always formed somehow into the shape of a heart. Paige and I are in the parking lot of a church near downtown Oakland. She saw a tree here the other day that inspired her to make a heart. Now she's up on a ladder, clipping off branches covered with green acorns and putting them in a bucket.
I'm not 100% certain.
This thing could clearly use the pruning anyway. I think you're doing them a favor.
I told them that I promised that I wouldn't take them all from one place, so.
Yeah.
You know, when somebody dies, you're asked to process something that you can't process, that your heart and soul refuses to say goodbye to someone you love, you know. even with the nuts and bolts of, well, what the hell? I mean, you know, how could she be here? This person, this human being that I love, and then the next day she's not. Like, where did she go? Like, you know, where is that? Where's that? Where is that? You know, I want to know where she went. She's my lover. And these trees have the answer. Wherever she went is the same place that made these trees. You know, it's why I'm really connecting so intensely to nature, is that it's an unspoken answer, but it's an answer. You know, it's God, it's higher power, it's the creator, it's the source, it's, you know, whoever made these trees, these beautiful trees and these beautiful acorns. These acorns have a job. They hold this little seed and they have this magnificent job. They're just divine. And so was she, you know, and I just sort of feel like being close to nature has somehow allowed me to somehow stay close to her, because I don't know where she went, but it's probably the same place where these trees are, and the shells on the beach, and the sand on the beach, and the water and the ocean. And it's really, I think it's, I've held on to that for dear life. And I think it was about 4 or 5 months after she passed, I had continued to make them. I made them on her doorstep for a little while, and then started making them on my own doorstep, and then I made them on my kitchen table, or I started making them out in the world. I just was, you know, making them. And one day I, for some reason, took a photograph of one, and I don't know what the impulse was, but I sent it to a friend of mine, just a really dear old friend, on my cell phone. And she called me back, and she was crying. And I said, what's going on? And she goes, that picture is so beautiful that you sent. And then she said, I don't know how to really explain it, except that I can feel love in this picture. I can feel like little love vibrating off my phone screen. And I just, you know, I got goosebumps everywhere. And I thought, wow, maybe I should put this out in the world. And my idea was to send them to my loved ones and to her loved ones, and for them to feel free to send them to their loved ones, and just kind of put it out. Let's just sort of put it out there. It was remarkable what occurred after that. It was just sort of like this delicious wave. And I started getting emails from people all over the world. People in South Africa, the hearts are going in Scotland, they're going to Australia, and people, strangers that I don't know, are sending me these just beautiful emails, and people were sending me hearts. People were making hearts on the beach for me and sending them back to me. I never imagined that would happen. I just unbelievable kind of flowing of love. You know, this really tangible love. So the materials kind of will talk and tell me what their strengths are, what their weaknesses are.
Paige is back home in her breakfast nook, standing at a butcher block table bathed in the sunlight. She pulls a branch covered with acorns out of her bucket.
So what I inevitably do is, it's to allow the materials to speak. I have some idea of what could make sense to do with them, but as I work with them, they'll speak. I'll inevitably end up spending an hour or two just kind of playing with these little acorns. And what do you think about when you're just doing something really mundane over and over? You just are thinking about life and pondering, you know, analogies and metaphors and kind of learning. It's still very, very, very fresh. Well, somebody sent them to somebody who sent it to somebody who sent it to an agent in New York, and she, the minute she started getting them, she contacted me right away and said, this is just, you know, we have got to make a book out of this. And I initially said no. It was really way too soon after Madeline passed. I had never even fathomed that this was going to be in the public, you know, per se. The intention was so very private. But when I started putting them out in the world through the internet, I started sort of getting this kind of awakening that, you know, maybe this was, you know, part of Madeline's and my purpose. You know, maybe this is why she and I met, is so that, you know, I don't know. You think all sorts of things, I guess. But I just sort of had this kind of awakening and said, you know, why not?
The heart starts taking shape. Paige has about 100 acorns spread out on her dining table, and she's moving them around.
I'll just sort of start messing with them, and all of a sudden it's just sort of like... It's like they all just sort of, like, you know, when you run a magnet by something and they all go... They all just sort of fall where they're supposed to fall.
By her count, more than 1,000 people signed up to receive her weekly emails, the Monday Hearts. And that gift Paige Hodel was sending out to the world, that gift was coming back to her in abundance, like in this email.
I'm sending you a heart that I made for my mom. She died unexpectedly on June 14th, less than a week before our whole family had planned on being away on vacation together. I know you understand grief and loss, and I wanted to share a small world experience with you. When I first saw your work, I sent my mom a link to your website because I knew that she would have loved your work. She didn't respond, so I will never know whether she got it. But while we were on vacation, I made her a heart out of the shells from the beach that I had walked on with my mother a year ago. I explained to my stepfather and my sister your story and how it touched me so deeply, and it turns out that my stepfather had given your book to my mother for Valentine's Day the year before. They loved your story, and they loved the work.
And you receive those almost every day?
I do. I mean, not to say that this is just one of a... This touched me so profoundly. But, I mean, things like this people share with me.
And it kept happening for years. Every week, Paige sent out a heart.
Never know how far it really goes. Kindness, you know, putting goodness out in the world. You know, really, it does a lot. So we're all putting a little bit of love out there.
Paige's book's called Monday Hearts for Madeline. At the end, after 100 photos of hearts, hearts made of fuchsias, hearts made out of radishes, hearts made of candy corn and Christmas lights, hearts made of almost anything, there's a poem. No Monday will there ever be, from now until eternity, that you don't have a heart from me. Paige Hodel kept making Monday hearts for Madeline Rodriguez. And in making them for her, she made them for the world. So this love story doesn't end. In Oakland, I'm Ben Trefney for Cross Currents.
Ben used to subscribe to those weekly emails that Paige Hodel sent out, but a while back, he noticed they stopped coming. So he reached out to Paige this week to get an update on her story, and Ben joins me now in studio to tell us what happened. Hey, Ben.
Hi, Hannah.
So I'm excited to hear what happened. Tell us.
Yeah, well, it was great to get back in touch with Paige. And she made and shared those hearts for many, many years. There's more than 500 that she made altogether.
Mm.
They're so creative. And they were always her thinking about Madeline Rodriguez. So then 3 years ago, she started having this strong feeling like she wanted to fall in love again. She was hoping that could happen. And sure enough, a little while later, she met somebody. So during all this time, she keeps making these Monday hearts. But, you know, new relationship, it's getting a little more complicated. And she told me that she felt like this place that was in her heart where she made the Monday hearts, that same place was starting to be filled by somebody else.
By the new person.
Yeah. So one day, she's out on the Point Reyes Peninsula on a hike with her sister. And she's out in nature, which she loves so much and she puts into so many of her hearts and where she's so good at finding inspiration. And she finds this pile of earth that a gopher had made.
Hmm.
And she says, this is the next heart that I want to make. So she reaches down, she picks up some of the soil, and she starts to get overcome with this feeling, she told me. She couldn't open her hands to let the soil out.
Hmm.
And she realized that she was feeling something from Madeline, that she felt compelled to stop in that spot. And she remembered that Madeline's favorite song was this song by an artist named Laura Nero called Brown Earth. Just like what she was holding in her hand, brown earth.
Mm.
So after some time, she's able to get past this feeling and she completes this heart in the trail. And she told me it was just so emotional. And after she finished, she just started to sob. But she felt like Madeline was telling her that it was okay at that point to stop sending those hearts out to the world.
Mm-hmm.
Like that she wanted her to go, not leave her behind, but that things were changing. And so since then, she's still made some of these hearts,
mm-hmm.
but she has made them for herself and for Madeline. She hasn't been sharing them with the rest of the public. But she also told me that over the past year,
She's gotten this profound awareness of how that Monday Hearts project helped heal her heart from Madeline passing. And she called the Hearts her lighthouse in the storm. And she says they were a gift from Madeline, mm-hmm. that if she could hold on to that love, she'd get through it. And now she says that she still misses Madeline desperately, but her heart feels healed.
Ah, so beautiful. Thank you, Ben.
Yeah, thank you.
Ben Trefney is our news director, and you can find the Monday Heart story and see the images at klw.org.